Woodstock Shakespeare Festival's 18th summer season opens July 12th with The Winter's Tale, one of the Bard's most fascinating late works. Bird on a Cliff Theater Company performs Winter's Tale outdoors on an Elizabethan stage in Woodstock every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from July 12th through August 4th. David Aston Reese is co-founder, artistic director of the company, and stars in this production. Veteran actor and director Nicola Shira is directing the production, and it's a great pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. Always lovely to see you. Thank you.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for having us. So, what brought you to The Winter's Tale?
Well, it's considered a comedy in the broad sense, and a romance in a particular sense. It's a very interesting play. There's a lot of drama in it, but yet the comedy comes out in the second half. It's almost like two plays. The first half of the play is about Leontes, and who suspects his wife having an adulterous affair with his best friend. And of course, he plots to kill his friend. His friend runs away, and he basically puts his wife on trial for adultery. I mean, it doesn't sound like a comedy, does it?
Yeah,
it
sounds and pretty, laughter ensues. Sure.
Yes, well, it's it gets better.
It gets
funnier, I guess, as it goes along. But it's a very fascinating play. It's a psychological thing because the play starts with Leontes and his best friend, who grew up together and went to school together, and he's begging his best friend to stay. His best friend's been there for 9 months, and Leontes' wife is 9 months pregnant. And within like four lines, Leontes suddenly thinks that the child that his wife is bearing is Polixenes, his best friend. Mm. And he starts freaking out. And you watch him go through the process of trying to figure out why and what is happening. And, he goes into a long speech on what it's like to be a cuckold. And the second half of the play is his daughter has grown up. And she falls in love with his best friend's son. So the play gets into a more rustic kind of spirit, and then there's an interesting rogue character called Autolycus, who rips people off and picks pockets people, and he sings his roguish songs.
We love the Shakespearean rogue, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah. I love that David said, and of course he has to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's part of the part of the thing. And of course, the fairy tale aspect of it is at the end of the play, one of the characters tells him that this brilliant sculptor has sculpted his queen's resemblance in stone, and they go to see it, and of course the statue comes to life, and the statue is Hermione, and she was not killed.
David, you're giving it all away.
It's no surprise that there's some very interesting.
Oh, David, tell me a story. Sure.
Once upon a time, there was a king in the kingdom who suspected his wife of adultery.
I ask this question because I find it fascinating. But at what point do you say, "Oh, I want to act in this. I want to be a part of that."
Well, it's the language. It's just the brilliant way he uses language, and not in the kind of rational, linear way that we, as we are talking now. Hopefully, you're understanding what I'm saying. And he uses words in a way that you have to kind of relax the brain and use it in a different way, because. Like, for example, one of the characters in Measure for Measure comes out and says, "Of government, the properties to unfold would seem to me to affect speech and discourse." You know, it's like, what did I just say?
Hmm.
You know, he's saying, for me to tell you how government works, I'd be wasting my breath.
Yes. So for you as the director, what is that like as far? What are the challenges in bringing that language alive and making it compelling and beautiful?
Well, as a director, your job is always to have the actors understand what they're saying and why they're saying it. The challenge is a little greater with this different language. So they have to paraphrase Shakespeare's words in order to find out where they're, what they're saying and why they're saying it.
Kind of like what I just did.
Like what he just did. Yeah. So I go through the play like that. Some people aren't used to it, aren't used to the language because it is poetry. And it just takes repeating and mostly understanding why things are being said so that the characters are real and responding to what's going on. And the tendency is to kind of clump through it. So that's the job, to make actors slow down. And
as I mentioned in the introduction, this is done outdoors. It's done on an Elizabethan stage. What is that? What is an Elizabethan stage?
Well, the stage was designed by a Broadway set designer, Salvatore Tagliarino. And there's a inner below balcony, and there's stairs on the left and right that lead up to the balcony, and then there's entrances left and right of that. And basically, an Elizabethan stage is set up to do all of its plays with a minimal set. And of course, Shakespeare is brilliant because he'll always have characters come out and say, "My God, look at the moon, it's so dark out here," or "Boy, it's windy." They set where they are and what's happening. So, and to get back to the language, it's basically, if the actor doesn't know what they're saying, it just comes out as words.
Hmm.
Once the actor grasps the meaning, and the challenge is to use those exact words in that order, the way they were written, to mean what they say. And I always feel very complimented when someone will come up and say, "You know, I understood every word you were saying." And the other thing with Shakespeare is that if you don't get it the first time, he's very good at repeating things. As a matter of fact, to a fault, where he does want some cutting.
Right.
I hate to say it.
Messing with a bard.
Yes, you messing get the chance to come at it again. Sure. So for you, the Elizabethan stage, is that that's a blessing, I assume?
It is in a way, because there's so many possibilities of space that you can use, and you can put the set wherever you want it. It's quite exciting. We have a few set pieces. People can come in from the audience now that we're outstage too, and so that gives you lots of chances to play around and not get confined into a small space. Very nice.
And then,
but it's buggy.
I was going to say, but then buggy. You're outside. Oh, yeah. You're outside.
Well, like
which
said,
is great. I mean, because in our mind, let's face it, I think all of us can paint a romantic picture that we're out on a great lawn on a summer evening and we're seeing Shakespeare and can think of nothing more beautiful and nothing more pure and nothing more enchanting than that idea. And then there's the reality. Now you have done your job. You're creating the art. You are doing a fantastic job. But yes, you have the rain, the bugs, the mud, all that stuff. How do you market that?
It's like you said, the beautiful skies, the beautiful breeze, the sun shining. And the stage is actually located where, and it's free.
Yeah, well, there you
it's
go.
It's free. And my wife, Ellie Michaels, and I started this 18 years ago, and for a good friend of ours said, "Why don't you try free Shakespeare?" And
here
we did,
you are.
And we found there's an audience for that maybe is willing to put up with a little weather.
Yes.
They bring picnics, and they make an afternoon, because you have to do it during the day, otherwise you have no light.
Right.
So it becomes a ritual for the audience as well, and they have wine and picnics, and
make the best of it.
They make the best of it. And if it rains, I guess everybody leaves.
I remember the first year we did this, someone actually brought a banquet table and set up a dinner on the lawn there. And when the show would start, you'd hear pop, 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 popping of corks. And it's very relaxed and informal, so they can bring the kids and the pets, even,
and the dogs,
if they're well-behaved. And
so you're doing a scene.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
And a dog comes up on stage.
That's happened. It's actually happened. It's actually quite fun and spontaneous. We've had a dog was kind of our mascot, Trickster. And whenever, yes, Trickster, whenever we would do a curtain call and the audience started to applaud, he would howl.
Yeah.
And that would be quite a pleasant sound to hear, and everybody got a kick out of it.
but again, you know, all kidding aside, it is such a beautiful way to spend time and spend it outside. The good news for you, you start on the 12th, you go through the 4th. It's been raining for so long, it's out of its system.
Yeah, I think
know,
so.
You're done. You got all. It's all.
It's hard to rehearse, though.
Oh yes, yeah.
And also at we're doing Alice in Wonderland after The Winter's Tale.
Well, I was going to ask you about because this is just part of what Burt Unnicliffe Theater does.
Right. We do the Shakespeare in the summer, and also throughout the year we do these sleuth comedy murder mystery dinner shows in the Kingston area, and I believe we were booked for one up in Albany in the fall, and they're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun. It's a good source of income for the theater company. Which I'm sure you know about.
Income.
Yes.
Income.
Well, especially when you do free theater.
Yes.
Yes. When part of your mission is free theater, yes, that certainly limits your possibilities of an income.
It is, yes. No, admission fees is quite a burden to try and
make a profit of that. Yes.
Yes.
Well, it all sounds wonderful. It is The Winter's Tale, and it is Woodstock Shakespeare Festival's 18th summer season. It opens July 12th and runs through August 4th, and you have an opportunity every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What time is?
5 p.m.
5 p.m., so that's perfect. 5 p.m. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, July 12th through August 4th, and you can find out more information by going to birdonacliff.org, birdonacliff.org. David and Nicola, I thank you so much for being with us.
Great pleasure.
Love having you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.